Well, good morning. Good morning. We still have a couple folks coming in. In the meantime, I'd like us to greet each other with a greeting that Christians have been using for a very long time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you so much. I invite you to pray with me, if you would, please. Lord, we are so thankful this morning. In spite of the dreary weather outside, Lord, we know that you have invited us into this place. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless our time together. Bless the word, bless the table, and bless each and every person that is joining us here in this room, here online, or who will join us later. We thank you for each blessing that you have bestowed on us, for the season that we have been through, and we ask that you would be with us this morning. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, if you are able and have a mind to, we'd invite you to stand and join us as we continue to worship in song.
You gave your life for mine, nailed to the cross, you crucified all my sin and shame, it was washed by your the treasure I find, my reason for living, so let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. All praise to the Lord Most High, and all praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, of heaven, my King forever. You stormed the gates of my heart, the veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave, 'cause you bring things to life, you roll stones away.
My whole life down, my
all together. And all praise to the Lord Most High. And all praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven, my King forever. Amen. And that is a tall order to say, all right, God, it's all yours. I'm going to just lay myself down. You decide. Take myself out of the equation. I'm giving up control. That's really hard for me. I don't know about anybody else here, but that's super hard for me. But if I'm going to have any New Year's resolutions, it's going to be to lay my life down more. And when I mess up, I'm going to ask for forgiveness and try again.
Was a wretch, I remembered who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way. Divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power. Was the blood applied? glory to his name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I haven't done a new song in a while, so this is a new one, but it's very repetitive, so I think you're going to grab on, but it's also so topical.
We're heaven's fun creations, it's pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise of calling and of destiny.
We're going to do that verse again.
We're heaven's fun creations, it's pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise of calling and of destiny. And I will sing of all you've done, and I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. A father's heart that's for me, a never-ending story of love that's always chasing me. His kindness overwhelming and hope for me unending. Sing of all you've done, and I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. And with all of my life, I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship. You've done, and I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. With all of my life, I will worship you.
Everyone,
I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you.
Father, we just thank you this morning for an opportunity to worship you, Lord. We thank you for the promise of that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Because I know, at least for me, Father, my life is a continuous falling short of your glory, Lord. But I thank you, Father, that you just... you never leave, that you continue to wash clean, that you're a God who sent your Son, and and said, here, take this free gift. There's nothing like it, Father. We just thank you so much for salvation, Lord. We thank you for your Son. We just ask, Father, that as we're here today, that when Pastor Judy preaches, that these words would just resonate in our hearts, Father, that it would speak to us, that you would just open up our hearts, Father, and just, Lord, show yourself to everyone here, Father, in the many different ways that you show yourself and reveal yourself. We just thank you. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May we pass the peace.
Okay, well, as we are wrapping up, there's a couple of things that we just want to make sure you're aware of. If you are needing to get in touch with the office or one of the pastors here at the church, there's a couple ways you can do that. One way is we've got some green cards at the back. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering box. Or you can go to livinghope.info/connect. That will get an email to the pastoral staff, and we can help you out or address any questions you might have. And if you're giving today, thank you, first of all. And again, there's a couple of ways we can do that. You can fill out the envelope and put the offering in there and drop it in the box at the back of the room, or you can go to livinghope.info/give. A couple of other giving opportunities, besides just supporting the work that we do here at the church, through the church to the community and the world, really, is we have Warm a Home, and this is a fund that we participate in as the Lord leads you. And you can take an envelope off of the tree in the foyer, or you can and drop it in there and drop it in the mail. Or you can go to the livinghope.info/give, and there's a drop down, and I believe you can mark it for Warm a Home. But this is a way to help families who are struggling with their heating and electric bills be able to keep the heat on in their homes. And also Habitat for Humanity. You can also do the same thing online or in the back of the room and just make sure that you mark it for Habitat. Next Sunday, how many of you are familiar with Pastor Alan Santos from Brazil? He's visited here a couple of times. He shared a little bit about what he's doing down in Brazil. Well, his whole family is here. Miguel, his son, his older son, has been staying with Phil and I for the last 6 months, and now the whole family's here. And so he's going to be sharing with us next week. So invite your friends, invite your neighbors, bring your dog. Whatever. But just make a point to be here. He has some exciting things to share, and I know that he has a word from the Lord for us. I have no doubt. So before we get started, though, I wonder if we could just pause for a moment in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the way that you have kept us, you've protected us, you have blessed us, you've provided for us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would provide for us now, in this moment, provide what we need. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, welcome to the last Sunday of 2025. No applause on that one? Yes, a little bit. So show of hands. How many of us here are kind of glad or really glad that this year is coming to an end? Show of hands, right? If social media is any indicator, not that I'm on social media or anything, but this is kind of a unified theme. You know, we've come to the end of another year. And I don't know about you all, but when you get to the end of the year, there's kind of this tendency, this natural, I don't know, habit maybe, of looking back over the year and reviewing what all has happened. Looking back at what we've maybe endured, what surprised us, what we survived. And some of us do this with gratitude. Many of us do this with gratitude. Others might do it with some exhaustion. I think most of us, though, we kind of do it with a mixture of both. There's been a lot of things to be grateful for, but there's been a lot of stuff, too, at the same time. And I'm not sure that I noticed before, or maybe I'm just paying closer attention now, but Scripture actually invites us into moments of reflection. But not as nostalgia, and not necessarily as self-evaluation or self-assessment, but as an act of faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses speaks to Israel as they stand on the edge of the promised land. Behind them lies the wilderness, and ahead of them is an uncertain future. And Moses says to them, "Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, but rather we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Now, this remembering that Moses was talking about, it's not a sentimental kind of remembering. The Hebrew word used here for remember, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this if you're a Hebrew scholar, I'm so very sorry. But the word zakar, it means to recall in a way that shapes obedience. Moses is not asking Israel to romanticize the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness is rough. If you've ever been camping for 2 weeks in a tent, not glamping in a camper, you know, although I'm not against that either, but if you've ever been camping in a tent for a couple of weeks, it gets dirty and old and stinky and all the things after just a couple of weeks. Imagine doing that for 40 years in the desert. So he's not saying that, he's not trying to romanticize the time that they were in the desert, in the wilderness. But what he is asking them is to recognize how God met them there, how they learned dependence, how they were sustained daily, how God was faithful even, or especially, when they were not faithful. We see something kind of similar in Joshua. Okay, as the people are finally entering the promised land. You know, Moses brought them up to the promised land, and Joshua is going to take them into the promised land. And in Joshua 4, 1-7, we read, "When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at that place where you will camp tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, 'Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial, and in the future your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" Now, a little backstory on this. And I had to go back and read the backstory just to make sure, a little before and a little bit after. Like I said, Joshua was bringing the people of Israel into the promised land, but they had to cross the River Jordan. And it was at harvest time, so the banks were overflowing. If you've ever tried to get across a river that was full and overflowing, it can be a little dangerous, but they had to go across. And so God told Joshua that when the priest walked into the River Jordan, it would stop. In fact, it backed up all the way, like the town above them. It was backed up all the way back there, and the ground dried up, and the people could walk across as long as the priests and the Ark of the Covenant were in the middle of the river. There's another story where the people walked across on dry land, isn't there? A couple generations before this, their ancestors had walked across the Red Sea in very much the same way, didn't they? Anyway, so while the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, were in the middle of the Jordan River, Joshua, according to the Lord's directions, had 12 representatives from each of the tribes, one representative from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, go and get a stone. Now, when I think go and get a stone, I'm thinking a stone. That's not what they were doing. You don't have to carry that on your shoulder. They were getting a stone, something they would have to put on their shoulder and carry across. And then they would use those 12 stones, boulders, maybe small boulders, to build a memorial on the other side where they camped that night, once everyone came across. And that would be a memorial. Now, we have monuments, we have memorials. If you've ever visited our state capital in Indianapolis, we have a lot of them. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., there's a lot more. And they are physical reminders of people or events that happened that we can look to. And that's exactly what this was to be. Although not as pretty as some of our monuments and memorials, as it was only 12 big rocks. But they were there. They were unusual. They didn't occur naturally. And so they were that memorial that when the children asked, why are these rocks here? The people would say, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. sorry, I talked past myself in my notes. But it was a way to tell the story of God's faithfulness. And this memorial was not about celebrating. It wasn't celebrating Israel's strength or success. Most of our memorials, our monuments, are about our success. Success in battle, success in politics, success in civil things. But this memorial was about remembering God's faithfulness in keeping his promises to the nation of Israel. Now, wiser people than me have observed that in Scripture, reflecting or remembering is not about evaluating our success, but it's about discerning formation. What have we learned about God? What have we learned about ourselves? What's been revealed about where we place our trust? For many of us, this past year has felt a little wilderness-like. There were seasons of provision, but also times of disorientation. There were days of clarity and days of confusion. And the passage that we read in Deuteronomy reminds us that wilderness seasons are not wasted seasons. They are places where God teaches us again and again that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. But Scripture also understands that remembering can be difficult, especially when God feels absent. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has walked through a difficult season, a difficult time, and you've been praying and praying, and it feels like your prayers aren't going any farther than the ceiling of your room, wherever you happen to be, the ceiling of your car, if you're praying in your car. And God feels absent. But Psalm 77, 1 through 11, gives us language for that experience. The psalmist begins in distress, crying out to God and feeling unheard. And there's no quick resolution or tidy explanation. But then in verse 11, the psalmist makes a deliberate turn. It says, but when I recall all you have done, O Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works, O God. Your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the sky. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one even knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as your shepherds. The psalmist here recalls the Exodus, the defining story of God's deliverance. Yet even as he remembers it, he acknowledges something striking. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. See, God was present. He just wasn't obvious. God was at work, but he wasn't easily traced. Now, this is some honest faith. The psalmist doesn't claim that remembering fixes everything, but instead the psalmist claims that remembering anchors us by faith when God's ways remain hidden. Faith doesn't always mean clarity. Sometimes it means holding on to what we know about God's character when we can't trace God's path. As we look back on this year, there may be parts that still don't make sense. Not maybe. There are still parts that just don't make sense, aren't there? There may be griefs that don't have resolution, prayers that don't have answers. Psalm 77 assures us, though, that faith can coexist with unanswered questions. And remembering God's faithfulness in the past sustains us in the present. And that brings us to Lamentations chapter 3. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. It was crucial for me, especially the end of that chapter. Several years ago when our family went through a tough time. And it was written in the aftermath of devastation. See, Jerusalem had fallen. Loss was everywhere. It was completely destroyed. And yet, from within lament, the writer of Lamentation says, "The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." See, hope here isn't denial. It doesn't erase suffering, but it arises from the unchanging character of God. The Hebrew word hesed, steadfast love, speaks of covenant faithfulness, of a love that does not let go even when circumstances collapse. End of the year hope, according to Scripture, is not optimism about what's going to happen next. We may not be feeling very optimistic about January 1st. But what it is trust in who God is. That hope puts its trust in the character, in the person of God. God's faithfulness doesn't depend on our circumstances. It's renewed every morning because God remains the same. Isaiah 43 moves us forward. God speaks to the people in exile and reminds them first of the past. Now, these are folks that they're not living at home. They've been captured and taken to another far-off pagan country. And so through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." But then he reveals what he's going to do next. He says, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I've made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world." See, this is not a call to forget God's past faithfulness. It's a call to reinterpret his faithfulness. God's future work grows out of God's past faithfulness. The one who delivered before is still delivering now. even if the terrain has changed. As we approach a new year, we're not asked to erase the last 12 months. We're not going to forget what's happened this last year. But what we are is invited to trust that God is still at work, sometimes between the surface and sometimes in ways that we don't recognize yet. And James helps us name this, what this year may have formed within us. He writes that trials test faith and produce endurance, and Jesus teaches that fruit reveals what is already growing in the heart. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I don't know about you, that's a tough one, isn't it? My first thought when things go sideways is not, "Woohoo, I get to be joyful." Am I the only one? That's not my first thought. I'm going to be honest. My first thought is, seriously? Are you kidding me right now? But very quickly, the Lord reminds me, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I'm so thankful that he moves me very quickly past the seriously to the, okay, there's going to be something out of this that's going to be awesome, because I know that God is working. So the question at this end of the year, this end of 2025, is not just was this a good year or a bad year? The deeper question is, what has been formed in us? Where have we grown in patience, in compassion, in courage, or trust? Where have we become aware of our limits and our need for grace? This kind of reflection, it's not judgment, it's discernment. It allows us to receive the year honestly and to walk forward humbly. If 2025 was a difficult year, or one that simply presented unexpected challenges amidst the blessings, it helps to remember that all of these difficulties and challenges are doing a deep work in us, transforming us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Paul's words in Philippians 1:6 offers assurance as we step into what comes next. It says, "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." What's reassuring for me in this is that the work that God is doing isn't finished. And it won't be until the day when Christ Jesus returns. We're all a work in progress, and we're all learning. And even if we've had a bad year, I hate to use the word bad because it's so subjective and situational, but even if we've had a challenging year or a difficult year, what God is doing isn't done. And it's not going to be until he returns. And the beauty in this is that Paul emphasizes God's ongoing work in our lives and in our world, not human completion. That's reassuring to me. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6:34, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." A little bit of confession. I've been struggling with worry as of late. I choose to trust. I trust a good God. Absolutely. He's never failed me. Not one time. Now, maybe things didn't turn out the way I thought they should, but he's never failed me, ever. And I choose to trust this good God that I've come to know over the several decades of my life. But that doesn't mean that worry doesn't creep in. That doesn't mean that there isn't those thoughts that say, yeah, but what about? What about tomorrow? What about next week? No, what about today, right now, in this moment? Today's trouble is enough for today. I don't need tomorrow's. And this is exactly what Jesus is addressing in this passage. He's addressing daily trust, the need to choose to trust him moment by moment. Not long-term mastery, because even when we've seen God's faithfulness before, trusting God in a new season requires intentional remembering all over again. Now, it's easier to trust God after having experienced his faithfulness in the past, but that doesn't mean that when a new difficulty arrives, a new time that feels a lot like exile, that we don't have to be intentional about trusting God in this new season. So if you are or have been in a time of challenge or difficulty, maybe you're asking what you should be doing in the process. What can I do in the process of these challenges, of these difficulties? What if we're facing a new year that we already know will at least start out rough? Well, as we've already mentioned, we remember. Remember. If you're a journaler, journal about it. I'm going to be honest, I'm a sporadic journaler. You know, I'll journal for a long time and then I'll stop for a long time and then I'll pick it up again. But even if you're not a journaler, you can make a list. A list of all of the places you've seen God faithful in your life. Write it down. And then when you go back in a couple of years, when you remember to journal again, you read through it and you see, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. And man, God was faithful. I couldn't have imagined how he could have worked that out, and yet he did. Make a list. There's an author, Anne Voskamp. Several years ago, she wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts. If you've not ever read it, I encourage you to. But in it, she encourages her readers who are struggling with their faith, because she wrote this out of her struggle, her own struggle with her faith, to list all of the things, little as well as big, that they are thankful for until they got to the 1,000th gift. Now, this could be something as simple as thank you for a rainy day. That's it, simple. But when you get to that 1,000th gift, start over and keep going. If journaling or listing isn't really your thing, I've heard suggested, and I've done it myself, that when you're facing difficulties or challenges, to worship. Worship God for who he is and all he's done. Now, usually when we think of this, we think of music or singing. And if that helps you to keep in mind that God is faithful, listen to and sing the music that encourages you to remember where God has been good and he has been faithful. Now, some of us don't sing. Some of us sing better than others. But some of us don't sing, and that's okay. Some of us don't connect through music, and that's okay. God created us to be creative in our own ways. But maybe reading stories in the Bible like we've shared this morning about Moses and Joshua, maybe those help us remember that God is faithful in difficult times as well as good times. So if reading about the people and the places where God has been faithful helps you to trust him in your own times of challenge, then read and reread and reread and reread the stories that are in Scripture about God's faithfulness. And we're not entering 2026 with certainty. We don't know what's ahead, do we? God does. And so we do enter it with promise. A promise that God, who's been faithful through this year, through its joys and its losses, its clarity and its confusion, that same God will remain faithful next year and in the years to come. So we walk forward not with control, which I'll admit is a problem for me. I like to be in control. But we don't walk forward with control. We do walk forward with trust. Not with answers, but with hope. And not because we're ready. I don't know about you. I'm not quite ready for 2026. But we walk into it because God is faithful. Ready or not, God is faithful. So in these next few days, as we are approaching New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, don't expect thunder so much in the end of December, do we? And yet here we are. But in these next few days, may we remember well. Remember well what God has done and where he's been faithful. And trust deeply and walk forward together. If you are struggling to remember, grab your friend. Grab somebody here at the church that will help you remember God's faithfulness. And one day at a time, we walk into this held by the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. I invite you to pray with me, would you? Father, we are so thankful this morning for your faithfulness. Lord, we would be lost without it. And you truly have been so good to us, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and challenges, Lord. There have been so many places where you have blessed us, so many ways that you have been faithful to us, Lord, that 1,000 things couldn't even begin to touch, Lord, how good you've been to us. We give you thanks and glory for your faithfulness today. And Lord, we ask that as we step into this new year, we don't ask that you would be faithful because you are going to continue to be who you are. You're going to continue to be faithful. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember. Bring it to our mind in those moments where we are struggling with worry. Bring it to our mind in those moments when we just can't see a way for this to work out. We can't see a way for this to happen. For the need that we have to be filled, Lord, help us to remember. Teach us to trust. Knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you love us, and knowing that even when we can't see it, especially when we can't see it, you are working all things to our good. This morning you've invited us to your table, Lord. And as we take the bread and the cup, Lord, as we receive the elements of communion this morning, we are so thankful. Thankful that at the moment of your death, looking forward to what was to come, Lord, you gathered with your disciples. You took the bread and you blessed it and you broke it and you gave it to them and told them to eat. For this was your body broken for the forgiveness of their sins. And you took the cup and you gave it to them, explaining that it was the blood of a new covenant, a new time to come. Lord, thank you for the truth of that. Thank you for the grace that we find in the bread and in the cup. Lord, as we say yes to you today, maybe for the first time, maybe again, we thank you for the grace we find in your table and at your table. Lord, you have truly been so good to us. And we thank you ahead of time for the ways that you are going to bless us, for the ways that you are working things out, for the things that you are going to show yourself mighty in this year. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Now I invite you to join me in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As our musicians come back up onto the platform, I will be down here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. You're welcome to receive the elements this morning of communion. anyone who's saying yes to Jesus today is welcome. And you can take a piece of the pita bread, dip it in the cup, and partake. We do have some gluten-free wafers. We also have some prepackaged elements that if you're more comfortable that way taking it, please feel free. If you prefer, we do have elements at the back, prepackaged elements. We want to make a way for everyone to participate in receiving the elements at the Lord's table this morning. So as we prepare, I invite you to come. Lord, we do thank you for the cross, for leading us there, for pouring out your love so that we could know salvation, so that we could be in relationship with you. Lord, we are so thankful today. We are thankful for the new year that we face, knowing that we walk into it with you before us, behind us, and beside us, Lord. Help us to remember. keep in mind, help us to keep in mind all that you have already done and to live in the assurance that you have not stopped working on our behalf. Even when we can't see it, even when we don't feel it, you are there and you are doing a good work. And for that, we are thankful and we praise you and bless your name. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.